Hello, sports fans. Welcome to Sun Sounds of Arizona, radio programming that is designed for and directed to people who cannot read conventional print due to a disability. I am your volunteer reader, Russ Pomerantz, for Sports of All Sorts. Sports of All Sorts is a weekly program bringing you selected articles from various sports magazines, newspapers, and or online media, covering timely and interesting articles on various topics in the fields of professional and amateur sports. I hope you like the material that I've selected for you today. I'm going to start with a few articles from the ESPN.com website. The first article I'll be reading is written by Eric Woodyard, entitled, How the Milwaukee Bucks Got Giannis Antetokounmpo, say that three times fast, Giannis Antetokounmpo, ready for being a first-time father. He writes, from Milwaukee, Eric Bledsoe flashed a smile an hour ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks tip-off against the Minnesota Timberwolves on New Year's Day. The Bucks guard had just completed his pregame shooting routine with his 4-year-old son, Ethan, at his side. There was a dunk contest on the ball rack, half-court dribbling games, and plenty of hugs shared between the father and son where Bledsoe began his night at the office. Bledsoe, 30, is a father of three, having welcomed his youngest into the world with his wife, Morgan, during training camp before the season. His Bucks teammate, Chris Middleton, became a father for the first time last season. Next up, Giannis Antetokounmpo, whose longtime girlfriend, Mariah Riddlespringer, gave birth to the couple's first child, Liam, on Monday. For an already close Bucks squad, preparing their reigning MVP for fatherhood become another way to bond. Antetokounmpo, Middleton, and Bledsoe are the team's three leaders in points per game. Now the trio is sharing more than the scoring load. They're also sharing the journey of raising infant children. I'm experienced with it, and Chris is going through it, but I tell him that nothing can teach him how to be a dad with your son that's about to be on the way, Bledsoe said. We're not going to be there when he's sick. We're not going to be there when he's smiling at you. It's just something you've got to go through with him. Bledsoe is the veteran among the group, with an 8-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old son, and now the newborn, and has become a go-to resource for Antetokounmpo. Although Bledsoe, Middleton, and others around the team have plenty of stories about the late-night wake-ups, diaper changing, and how to adjust to the sleeping routine, they're giving Antetokounmpo space to learn on the fly. He asks us questions all the time, but I just tell him that it's just an experience you have to go through, Bledsoe said. Can't nobody tell you how to be a parent? That comes with kids. Whenever Ethan is around the team with his father, the Bucks guard notices how joyful Antetokounmpo becomes. It's kind of different for me, Bledsoe said. I already know what to expect with an 8- and 4-year-old, but just seeing them go through, it is amazing, especially going through it with them. The Antetokounmpo, that excitement has manifested in a career year, even after winning MVP honors last season. The 25-year-old is averaging career highs in points, 30 points, and rebounds, 13.5, while shooting 54.9% from the field, and leading the Bucks to a league-best record. It is definitely motivating me, Antetokounmpo told ESPN. I try to be around kids as much as possible. I try to learn and ask questions. I'm excited. It's exciting. That's something where no matter what goes on, at work or anything, you go back home and you're happy because your little boy is there. Antetokounmpo didn't play Monday night against the Sacramento Kings after the birth of his son. But he told ESPN earlier this year that he didn't anticipate spending significant amount of time away from the team after his son was born, saying he was locked in on his goal of bringing Milwaukee its first title since 1971. "Hell no," Antetokounmpo said. "We've got a job to do." That was the case last year when the Bucks swept the Detroit Pistons in the first round of the playoffs. That allowed Middleton to be present for the birth of his daughter, Audrielle, who was born a day after the Bucks' series-clinching win. Middleton, 28, considers 2019 to have been his best year. He became an all-star, experienced his first deep playoff run, represented the United States at the FIBA World Championship, and secured a five-year, $177.5 million max contract. Nothing beats being a dad, though. "We talk about it every day, me, Giannis, and Bled," Middleton said. "We just talk about the fun things, like putting together the crib, getting up at night to take care of the child, but just the joy. Just the pride that you have in being a father is something you don't have until you have one." Antetokounmpo also has support from another Bucks teammate, his older brother, Thanasis. Their younger brother, Kostas, plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, and he said he can't wait to become an uncle to Giannis's first child. "Hopefully, he likes basketball," Kostas said. "He might not, but hopefully he does." The newborn's middle name, Charles, was the name of the brother's late father, Charles, who moved the family from their native Nigeria to Greece shortly before Thanasis was born. During a Christmas Day sit-down with ESPN's Maria Taylor, Giannis spoke about his father's influence and what becoming a father would mean for him. "It makes you more mature, but it's something I always wanted, to have my own family, to become a father," Antetokounmpo said. "I always thought that God's timing is the best timing, and God is doing it right now. I'm happy about it. I'm excited about it." Although Antetokounmpo knows a baby is a major life change, he also has seen firsthand how it can lead to on-court success, thanks to Toronto Raptors guard Fred VanVleet. In the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals, VanVleet was shooting a dismal 20% through three games. Then his son Fred Jr. was born. VanVleet would put up 13 points off the bench in Game 4, and he shot 68% in the final three games of the series to end the Bucks season. "Look at Fred VanVleet," Antetokounmpo said. "He started making all those shots when he had his kid. Maybe that happens to me also. Who knows?" While a stats bump would be nice for Antetokounmpo and a scary proposition for the rest of the NBA, given that he already is on pace to become the first player since Moses Malone in 1982 to average 30 points and 13 rebounds per game in a single season. He isn't worried about statistical milestones or winning another MVP. He wants to join fellow father VanVleet in another club, NBA champions. "I know there are a lot of things that come with being a celebrity, being on the front page covers and all that, but it really doesn't excite me," Antetokounmpo said. "There's a lot of things that I've turned down. I've turned down movies, commercials, endorsement deals this year because I really don't care. I just want to win. I want to help my teammates win. I want to help this day bring a championship to this season." The next article is entitled, "The Warriors Welcome Back Andre Iguodala," with Klay Thompson giving a speech at center court. It was written by Nick Friedel, an ESPN staff writer. From San Francisco, he writes, "For the first time since he was traded away last summer, Andre Iguodala faced off against the Golden State Warriors on Monday at Chase Center. Iguodala, 36, spent 6 seasons with the Warriors, winning 3 NBA championships and the 2015 Finals MVP award before he was dealt to the Memphis Grizzlies last summer to clear cap space. Now a member of the Miami Heat, Iguodala received a pregame standing ovation Monday after a video tribute was shown on the scoreboard. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everybody that supported us. Supported me my entire time here, Iguodala said, during a brief speech to the crowd before tip-off. It definitely feels like home every time. I just left, but it feels like home. Really appreciate you guys and appreciate you all being Loyal Bay Area fans. My brothers will be back in action, full squad next year, to wreak havoc on the league for 80 games. Love you all. Obviously, it's a special night for Dub Nation, Thompson said. We've got one of the greatest Warriors in the history of the organization back. We call him the Swiss Army Knife, one of my favorite teammates of all time. He made me, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Kevin Looney's job much easier, as well as Coach Steve Kerr and all the coaching staff. So we're indebted to this man for what he gave us. And it's good to have you back, Dre. And I can't wait to see your jersey in the rafters one of these days, bro. Thompson spoke after cameras caught him losing a best 2 out of 3 rock, paper, scissors matchup to Curry before the ceremony began. I told him I hope that he isn't that far into his career or too old where he didn't have goosebumps and a pit in his stomach, Heat coach Eric Spoelstra said of Iguodala. I did. Really, at the beginning, I was about to diagram a play and saw the tribute was going on, and that's the respect of a champ. That's a legacy that will go on for years on after this. In so many ways, you know, he's the heart and soul of those teams. I just loved what Clay had to say about him on behalf of the organization. That is real. The respect that he has from the entire fan base out here, you just have to step back and tip your hat. Greatness, Spoelstra added. I'm glad we are able to have him on our side. I mentioned that to Steve. Thanks for letting us have him for a short period of time while we are trying to do something. But you see what he brings. Those are impactful minutes. I don't even know what his plus minus was, but good things happen when he's on the court. And it has nothing to do with the box score. The ceremony clearly meant a lot to Iguodala, who was appreciative of the gesture, especially Thompson's speech. I think with Clay being out there, it kind of was over the top because I have a special relationship with the core of the group, Iguodala said after the game. That was there the whole time, Draymond, Clay, and Steph. Clay was more the quiet one. He didn't speak too much. Hearing from him, it almost got me. I think the circumstances kind of helped at the same time. It's a new building, so it was new and different. Joining this Miami team at a certain time, we really need to get this win, it felt like. Focus was on the game and making sure we got the win. Iguodala was a plus 25 in 17 minutes, despite scoring just 2 points in a 113-101 Heat victory. Playing with Iguodala for the first time brought a smile to Heat star Jimmy Butler's face after the game. Butler missed the previous 3 games because of a shoulder injury. It's great to have another champion, Butler said. Another winner, and just an overall great human being in a locker room. Just the joy he brings. He's always reminding guys it's okay to have fun. You have to love what you do. Competing is fun. Winning is fun. But more than anything, he's always smiling, always in a good mood. Earlier in the day, Green smiled when asked what it would be like to face Iguodala in a game after so many years as teammates. I'm going to flagrant foul him, Green said. Flagrant too. Asked if it would happen in the first quarter, Green said, as soon as I get a chance. Green, who has a history of ejections, joked that he wasn't worried about leaving the game early. It'll be worth it, he said. I get to talk about that for the rest of my life with him. It'll be worth it. Iguodala, who gave Kerr a hug after he entered Monday's contest for the first time, smiled as he spoke to reporters before the game while a large picture of him riding a float in a championship parade was displayed behind him. He said he hadn't had time to process his legacy, but understood last summer that a trade was brewing. I had a Tony Romo moment, Iguodala said. I sniffed it out before it happened. I've just been around the game for a while. You got to see how things are played. You see how a domino effect can happen. Iguodala was asked if he thought other players would follow his path in finding a way to play for a team he wanted to join. After being traded somewhere, he didn't want to be. Iguodala made it clear that he didn't want to play in Memphis and waited for a deal to come to fruition, despite taking heat from a few of the Grizzlies' young players on social media in recent weeks. Iguodala brushed off the criticism and is confident that he has found a nice place to resume his career in Miami. I think everybody's situation is different, Iguodala said. You have to assess all the moving parts of everyone's individual situations. You got to know how you stand with the organization. You are trying to work with them more than anything. That's what I was trying to do. My intentions were never to try to keep from playing with a certain set of basketball players, because I think that can be miscommunicated throughout the process. Having an agreement with the team and figure out what is the best move for both parties, and both parties are satisfied in the end. Kerr was happy to see one of his favorite former players back on the floor. I've said this before. I've never been around a smarter basketball player, and I've been around a lot of players, a lot of smart players, Kerr said. What makes him really unique is his brain, his combination of his fundamental basis with the athleticism. He's not as athletic as he was 6-7 years ago, but there's only one other guy I think of when I think of that combination of the fundamental sound, constant nature of his game with the athletic ability as well, and that's Scottie Pippen. You're listening to Sun Sounds On Demand. I am Russ Pomerantz, your volunteer broadcaster, reading for sports of all sorts. The next article is titled Sources. Ex-Hornets forward Michael Kidd-Gilchrist agrees to join Mavericks. It's written by Tim McMahon and Adrian Wojnarowski. They write, Dallas. Former Hornets forward Michael Kidd-Gilchrist has agreed to sign with the Mavericks, league sources told ESPN on Monday. A source said the Mavs had released shooting guard Ryan Rocroft, who shot 43% from three-point range in 59 games over two seasons, to create a roster spot for Kidd-Gilchrist. Kidd-Gilchrist, the number two overall pick of the 2012 draft, fell out of the Hornets' rotation this season before receiving a buyout last week. At 6'6", 232 pounds, Kidd-Gilchrist has earned a reputation as a strong wing defender. He will provide the Mavs a physical option to guard powerful elite scorers on Western Conference playoff teams such as James Harden, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. Kidd-Gilchrist's jump shot is his biggest flaw, as he is a career 28% three-point shooter. He averaged 8.6 points and 5.5 rebounds in 433 games for Charlotte. The next article under the headline, Raptors run win streak to 15 to upstage D'Angelo Russell's Wolves debut, was written by Tim Bontemps in Toronto. The Raptors have kept their winning streak alive in a variety of ways over the past few weeks. On Monday, they did so without a traditional center and while withstanding the debut of D'Angelo Russell in a Minnesota Timberwolves uniform. Russell finished with 22 points and 5 assists in 32 minutes, but it wasn't enough to prevent Toronto, led by 34 points from Pascal Siakam, from beating Minnesota 137-126 to extend Raptors' winning streak to 15 games, the second longest streak in the NBA this season. Well, first of all, it didn't feel like it was a win going away for quite a long time, Raptors coach Nick Nurse said afterwards. I think we're getting everybody's A-plus game. They were really good, I thought, for a lot of stretches. We just had to figure out something. We had just had to try to figure some things out. The Wolves, who snapped a 14-game losing streak of their own on Saturday at home against the L.A. Clippers, continued to hang around throughout this one, including using a 12-2 surge to open the fourth quarter and move to 108-106 with 9:10 to go. But just when it looked like the Raptors might finally stumble, they ripped off a 24-7 run over the next 6 minutes to take a 132-113 lead with 3 minutes remaining and ensure that their winning streak would last until at least Wednesday in Brooklyn, Toronto's final game before the All-Star break. A lot of credit to them, Timberwolves coach Ryan Saunders said. There's a reason they've won 15 in a row. A big reason Toronto's win streak remains intact is that the Raptors were able to shut Russell down after a productive opening three quarters in his Timberwolves debut. Russell, who averaged 23.6 points for the Golden State Warriors before being traded to the Timberwolves on Thursday in exchange for Andrew Wiggins, a 2021 first-round pick, and a second rounder in the hours leading up to the NBA's trade deadline, didn't waste any time getting into the action. He missed a pull-up jumper on the game's opening possession, then drove to the hoop and scored on a layup at the 11:04 mark of the first to open the scoring for Minnesota. It was great, Russell said. Super excited about this group. We just know what Karl Anthony Towns does and what he brings to the table. Just the group in general and coaching staff, I'm looking forward to this challenge to figure out what we could do to get better every day. Russell scored 9 points in the first quarter, 16 in the first half, and 22 through the first three quarters, while going 7-for-12 from the field, all while showing off the kind of shot making, including a 31-footer from the right side of the court in the first quarter, that caused Minnesota to so aggressively chase him this summer as a free agent and again leading up to the trade deadline. He also showed good chemistry with his close friend Towns, whom he's living with until he gets settled in his Minneapolis, in the pick and roll. That's my brother, Towns said, I told him. I don't know if he'll ever have a teammate that loves him as much as I do, has his back more than I do. I'd die for that man, and I know he would do the same for me. After those blistering first three quarters, Russell's production tailed off in the fourth. He had just one assist and two turnovers in 7:15 of fourth quarter action, failing to take a shot in the period as Toronto was able to blitz him and get the ball out of his hands. We really tried to press him, to make him drive it, Nurse said. We sat down too much, and he's going to make those no matter where he is on those. We did try to trap him out of the timeouts a lot when he got the right matchups on him, and we turned him over twice out of timeouts for layups, which was huge. Towns, meanwhile, had 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists against a Toronto team playing without its two traditional big men. Mark Gasol was out with a hamstring, and Serge Ibaka was ill. That forced Nurse to turn to Rondo Hollis Jefferson, a 6'7", 215-pound forward, to try to stop the 7-foot, 248-pound Towns. It worked well enough, with Hollis Jefferson going for 21 points and 6 rebounds in 33 minutes while doing his best to slow Towns. It's definitely different, Hollis Jefferson said, of trying to match up with centers. The battle is to hold your own ground, but they've got 5 inches on me and 30 or 40 pounds on me. It's definitely about being mentally tough. I love a challenge at the end of the day. In addition to Hollis Jefferson and Siakam, the Raptors finished with their 5 starters, Hollis Jefferson, Siakam, OG Anunoby, 25 points and 12 rebounds, Kyle Lowry, who had 27 points and 11 assists, and Fred VanVleet, 16 points and 7 assists, combining to score 123 of the team's 137 points on the night. With the victory, Toronto moved to within 3 wins of the NBA's longest winning streak this season, an 18-game stretch by the East-leading Milwaukee Bucks from November 10 to December 14. If Toronto can win its next 3 games to match that streak, Wednesday in Brooklyn, February 21st, against the Phoenix Suns, and February 23rd against the Indiana Pacers, the Raptors will have a chance to eclipse Milwaukee's streak by beating the Bucks at home on February 25th. From the ESPN News Services, Major League Baseball is mulling significant changes to its postseason, including increasing the number of teams from 10 to 14 and adding a reality TV-type format to determine which teams play each other in an expanded wildcard round, sources told ESPN. Major League Baseball is considering a move in which each league would have three division winners and four wildcard teams, making the postseason starting in 2022, sources said. The best team in the league would receive a bye into the division series. The two remaining division winners and the wildcard team with the best record of the four would each host all games of a best-of-three series in the opening round. Once the teams clinch and the regular season ends, the plan gets congested. The division winner with the second-best record would select its wildcard opponent from the three wildcard winners not hosting a series. The division winner with the worst record would then choose its opponent from the remaining two wildcard teams. The final matchup would pit the wildcard winner with the best record against the wildcard team not yet chosen. All of the selections, sources said, would be unveiled live on television the Sunday night of the final regular season game. Currently, two teams from each league play a winner-take-all wildcard game, and the winner faces the team with the league's best record. The appeal of the changes, according to the New York Post, which first reported on the possibility, is twofold. It could increase fan interest and could benefit Major League Baseball via a richer television rights package. Any proposal would have to be negotiated with the Players Association. The current collective bargaining agreement runs through 2021 season. Expanding the playoffs in a sensible way is something worth discussing when part of a much more comprehensive conversation about the current state of our game, union head Tony Clark said in a statement. The winners of the wildcard series would advance to the division round. As pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Florida and Arizona this week, it's a safe bet this strategy will be a major talking point. On Monday night, Cincinnati Reds starting pitcher Trevor Bauer expressed his overall disagreement with the proposal and with Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. Well, that's all we have time for in this 30-minute edition of Sports of All Sorts. I'm your volunteer reader, Russ Pomerantz. I hope you enjoyed this program, and we thank you for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to Sports of All Sorts, we'd appreciate it if you let us know. Simply email info@sunsounds.org. That's info@sunsounds.org. And as always, we invite you to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great day and a better tomorrow.